Good morning. If you would turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 31, we're going to look at verses 10 to 31. It's a well-known passage on the woman who fears the Lord. And to my knowledge, I have yet to preach a specific sermon on the topic of mothers, or although this is going to overlap quite a bit with being a wife and being a mother. Usually what we've done is, you know, on Mother's Day, I've said Happy Mother's Day, and I've said a few things, and there's maybe been some applications here and there in the sermon itself directed towards Mother's Day. But to my knowledge, this is the first sermon I preached on Proverbs 31. And so I'm looking forward to it. But before we begin, I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and read those verses, and then I will pray. So starting in verse 10. An excellent wife who can find. She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household. For all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. And then verse 30 may be the highlight of the truth of the entire passage. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning with these words from Proverbs 31, we trust in you and we look to these words that you would give us great wisdom. Father, these are the words of life, and it is found in the book of wisdom, the very end of Proverbs. And I pray that you would give us wisdom. I pray that through this, that the gospel of Jesus Christ also would be preached and proclaimed, that he would be more beautiful to us. Father, I pray that he would increase, that I and that we would decrease. Father, take these words and this sermon and work greatly. Father, we put this time into your hands. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. With these verses in mind, again, I'm not very creative, but the title is, I really get it from verse 30. The title is The Woman Who Fears the Lord. Now, the writer of this proverb is, if we find out in verse 1, is King Lemuel. And he is simply sharing what his mother taught him. This means that this proverb is a woman's description of a woman's role. And these words make it to the scriptures. And I know of no other place that we find such truth about the value and worth of a wife and a mother that fears God. And as I've said before, to my knowledge, I've yet to preach these words. In fact, I'm not sure that I've ever preached a sermon directly to mother. So I would like to take a look at this proverb as we think about being a wife and a mother on Mother's Day. And I just say to all of you, what a blessing you are to your families. And happy Mother's Day this day. And I hope these words will be helpful, not just to the mothers and wives, but to everyone who listens. Now, the main truth for this proverb is found in verse 30, which says, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." Therefore, what I would like to do with these verses in front of us is to just share, work our way through this chapter, and share a number of truths about the woman who fears God. And then at the end, I've got a couple applications and comments. And so let's begin. First truth that I see here is this: she is valuable. If you've got your Bibles there, keep it open because we're going to keep turning to these verses. So look at verse 10. She is valuable. Here's what we read: an excellent wife who can find. She is far more precious than jewels. Here we see that the wife who fears God is valuable. Now, it's interesting that the topic of the book of Proverbs is wisdom. And wisdom is referred to in the feminine person. Over and over, the book says to us, speaking of wisdom, Proverbs says, get her, seek her, find her. Why? Because there's nothing in this world you can compare with wisdom. And if you remember, even in the last few weeks in James, even as we've been preaching through James, we see that he tells us, ask God for wisdom. That's in chapter 1, verse 5. And out of all of the things Solomon could ask from God, he asked for wisdom, for its value is priceless. And in the same kind of way, the Bible speaks of finding such a woman for a wife. She is valuable. Another truth: she is hard to find. Look at also at verse 10, an excellent wife who can find. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the great King Solomon, he was wise. But concerning his wives, he apparently didn't find one that he considered to be wise. Because he says in chapter 7 and verse 28, he says, one man among a thousand I have found to be wise, but a woman among all of these I have not found. Now, that doesn't mean there weren't plenty of them. It's just that he did not find one as a wife. So today, husbands, those of you who have found a wife that truly fears God, you have a valuable jewel that not many on this earth possess. By way of application, young boys, young men, do not settle for a girl one day that does not fear God. But instead, find a wife that will love God with all her heart, with all her soul, her mind, and her strength. And if you do, you and those who come after you will be blessed beyond the value of precious jewels or riches. She is hard to find. Another truth from verse 11, she is trustworthy. The verse says, the heart of her husband trusts in her. This means she is a truth teller. She doesn't deceive others with her words or with her actions. What she says, she will do. And what she says she will do, she does. She's the kind of person who is not two-faced, telling one person something to their face, knowing that this is not true. She is a what you see is what you get kind of woman. And the person it most affects in her life certainly is her husband, because with all of his heart, he trusts her, whether it's with finances or decisions around the house, or any affair of the family. This woman is trustworthy. Another truth: She contributes to the worth of the family. We see this also in verse 11. We read this: he will have no lack of gain. Now, it's interesting that this chapter says a lot about the wife's role of the financial integrity and stability of the household. Let me try to explain this a little bit more in the context of these words. You see, in those days, when one army defeated another, the victor carried off the spoils or the prizes of the war, when really at that time there was very little coinage. This was one way a husband could gain wealth for his family. He could go off to war and gain wealth in that way. Another way that a husband could gain wealth, which has always been the case, was to cheat or to steal or to do something illegal or even to go into debt by borrowing or selling oneself into slavery or servanthood for a period of time. And this would require the husband to go off somewhere and be away from his wife. Well, these verses speak to the contribution of the wife financially so that her husband would not have to go off to war or borrow money or sell himself into slavery. Because of his wife, quote, he lacks no gain. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that a wife must be the main breadwinner or even that the wife must work outside the home. I think there is great freedoms there. But the principle is very clear. The wife who fears the Lord has an undying allegiance to her husband and to her household. So whether she works outside the home or not, she is a good steward of everything that their family has and contributes to the worth of the family. Another truth, look at verse 12. She does good to her husband. Here's what the verse says. She does good to him and not harm all the days of her life. This woman is merely being obedient to the Lord's command to love her neighbor as she loves herself. And who is her most important neighbor? It's her husband. She lives to love him, to serve him, to honor him, to advance him, to spoil him, and to ease his life. She does him good. Often in this world, parents tend to spend more time and effort on their children than they do on their own spouse. But remember that the institution of marriage was given way before children. And one of the most assuring things in the world to a child is to know that mama and daddy love one another. And I guess one of my favorite lines is still from Andy Griffith, who says, the proof is certainly in the pudding. She does good to her husband. Another truth we see in this text, she is hardworking and very beneficial to her family in provision. Now we see this throughout the chapter. But let's look at some of these verses. And let me say that truth one more time. She's hardworking and very beneficial to her family. And I think this follows actually truth number four. But let's look at a few verses. Verses 13 to 16. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She's like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. Look also at verses 21 and 22. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Then look in verse 24. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. And then finally in verse 27, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Now, the context may be different, for sure. There are not too many of us working with wool and flax and bringing our food from afar. And I'm not sure any of us have maidens But the, again, the principle here is the same. The woman who fears the Lord does not eat the bread of idleness. And those of you who have such wives, and those of you who have such mothers, we praise God. We thank God for a hardworking wife and a hardworking mother. And what a blessing to our families who have such ladies in them. Another truth. She is wise. Now, again, we see this throughout the entire chapter. In fact, it's found in Proverbs, which is the book of wisdom. Because everything that she does in these verses cries out, I am a wise woman. I am a wise mother. I am a wise wife. And it's interesting that the greatest book in the Bible about wisdom ends with a chapter on the wisdom of a wife and mother. And I just think this shows the value that God places upon godly ladies, especially wives and mothers who fear God. Look at verse 18. This is just an example that she is wise. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. This implies wisdom. Look at verse 26 also. Very clearly, she opens her mouth with wisdom. When she speaks, people listen, for they know that what she says is valuable. And again, what a blessing here at the end of the book of Proverbs to have such an emphasis on mothers and wives. Another truth here. Look at verse 26. She is kind. The verse says the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. The literal translation is the law of kindness is on her tongue. And the emphasis is not on being kind when it's convenient or when people are watching. No, this lady, it is kind because she is who she is. Kindness flows from her heart. It is her law, and this kindness is displayed in her words. In this proverb, think about all the people involved in this woman's life, her husband, her children, her neighbors, there's merchants, buyers, everyone on her trade route. On and on we could go. And with all of these people, they receive words of kindness. Now, an interesting tidbit from what I read on this verse. In ancient Jewish marriages, the volume of a woman's voice was very vital. She could even be divorced if she had a loud voice. Very interesting to me. The opposite of this kind of voice is rudeness, selfishness, gossip, slander, and the like. But the woman who fears the Lord is kind. Another truth. Verse 18. She's always ready to meet the needs of her family. Here's what the verse says. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. Now, as I preached through this, as I worked on this sermon this week, I could not help just praising God for my wife, and who is the mother of our children. But I told her that I wouldn't say anything, or at least much, about her. And you guys that you know me, and you're thinking, what a wife that he has, and we all know that. And I'm sure Kristen's not going to like this as I say these things. She's going to be a bit embarrassed. But I don't think I could be or do what I do without her. And she's always ready to meet the needs of our family. And that's what a godly woman who fears the Lord does. Now, looking back on my own life, my parents, you guys know, they divorced when I was somewhat young. And I'm sure they treated one another well for the most part of their time together. But I really don't remember that much. But later on, God gave me a special opportunity. When I was in college, I moved in with my grandparents. They were both retired, much older, had been married for many, many years. And I was able to see, as a Christian young man, many of the good biblical qualities found in this proverb. And I found them in my grandfather, and I found them in my grandmother. And as I look back, I think, what a blessing. And again, I've told the story before. They're both not far from, literally, from dying. They're in the same nursing home, and every day they would roll my grandfather down, who was in a different room, to my grandmother, and he would sit there. He was blind. They would hold hands. What a blessing. And I remember back when I lived with them. My grandmother was always getting up early to make sure everything was taken care of. She would make lunch for me as I went to work. And then years later, she also would get up later when I had to go to bed. Go to work at 11 o'clock and do the same. She was always ready to meet the needs of her family. And such is the woman who fears the Lord. Another truth. She loves her neighbor. Look at verse 20. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. This has always been so important in the Bible, because those who fear God give help to those in need. To open up the hand in the Hebrew means action. To love one's neighbor is not merely to say it, but to do it. Isn't this what James said to us last week, that religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. And such is the Proverbs 31 woman. At this point, I must just take a moment and emphasize, as Christians, that God the Father loves His creation. He loves the world. And such we see in the sending of the Son. There is no greater love than God the Father sending God the Son to this world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And when I see, if you've ever seen a picture of Jesus, maybe you haven't, maybe you have, but I have. And even if, and there are really no adequate pictures of Him, of course, but the pictures I've seen of Jesus, He is usually standing with His hands open and His palms up, which is a picture of His love. His love of laying down His life on the cross. And this was the greatest love to the neighbor, we might say, that there ever could be. And such is the woman who fears the Lord. Another truth. She is not fearful of what this world brings. Look at verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. We might translate that also double thickness. Their clothes are thick and ready for the cold. Here, I think that the general truth is physical preparedness for difficult times. She's like the squirrel gathering nuts for the winter. Because of the work of this woman, her household is ready for the snow, or the drought, or the sickness, or war, whatever may come. This means physical difficulties do not bring fear to her life. She is ready. But I think there's more implied here because of the context of these words. I would say that the woman who fears the Lord is not a fearful person generally. This means she is not an anxious woman. Why? Well, we already know that she is prepared physically, but spiritually, she is also prepared. And I think this is linked to the fact that she fears God. This is linked to the fact that she has a relationship with God, that she knows his sovereignty. She knows his providence. And whatever comes in this life, she is not fearful. In this regard, I think her favorite words may be Psalm 21, which says, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth forevermore." This woman who fears the Lord is not fearful of what this world brings. Another truth, she completes her husband. Look at verse 23. "Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land." Now, I had a hard time narrowing this truth in the beginning because the overall picture of this verse is the male leadership of a city going out to the city gates with the other leading men of the city in order to conduct business. And I picture a city where everyone knew one another. And this woman's character was of such quality that the other men knew about this man's wife and the mother of his children. And his success could not come without this woman. This is why I say she completes her husband. And this should not in any way surprise us, because this makes perfect sense. Think back. After Adam named the animals and saw there was none like him, God caused him to sleep, and from his side, he formed the woman. He gave her to him as his wife, his helper, his companion in the task of ruling this world. They were to do that together. Wives, did you know that by your character, you complete and help your husband? And when you do, what a witness you are to this world. I don't know, again, I said this earlier, what I would do or how I would do it if I did not have my wife. She certainly completes me in this way. Praise the Lord for her. Another truth, and we're getting close to the end of our truths. And the only reason I'm not telling you how many, because I didn't want to freak everybody out in the very beginning and when you heard that John had so many truths. Here we go. She's a woman of beautiful character. Now, again, we've seen this throughout, but verse 25 gives us the most beautiful picture. Look at verse 25. We read, "Strength and dignity are her clothing." Ladies, think about this. Think about your morning, any particular morning. You get up, you go to your closet, you pick something nice for the day, whether it's work clothes or wedding clothes or lounge around the house clothes, whatever. This is how you greet your day, with appropriate clothing. Well, that's exactly how the woman who fears the Lord greets the days of her life. But the clothes that she puts on do not hang in her closet. Instead, they are strength and dignity. She knows the important things in life are free. Strength and dignity are hers because she belongs to the King of strength and dignity. And she has his character. And she knows what he is like, for he has told her in his word. When people see this woman, they don't necessarily see beautiful clothing, but a beautiful heart filled with character. And this truth really captures the essence of this passage found in verse 30, which says, Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Now, I must say, with the entire revelation of God given to us in these days, that this is a beautiful picture of the gospel of Christ. God sent his Son so that sinners might be clothed with righteousness. The woman or the man who fears the Lord is one who is clothed in righteousness. And God is the one who must clothe us. Do you remember back in the garden when Adam and Eve tried to clothe themselves with fig leaves? But that was not sufficient. God had to clothe them. And there we see the first sacrifice. What they did in trying to clothe themselves with righteousness fell short of his glory. We do the same. On our own, our righteousness is filthy as a dirty rag. But Romans 3:21-25 says this. 3:21-25 says, but now these are the days of the gospel. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. If you will be a person who fears God, you must be clothed with the righteousness of Christ. And in these verses here in Proverbs, speaking of this woman, here we see a picture of the gospel as they look forward and as we look back. My final truth this morning, verse 28, her children and her husband praise her. Look there with me. We read, her children rise up, and they call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Here I see a very important truth. The emphasis is on the family. Those who live with this woman, they know what is true about her. They know the truth. They see her every day and every night and every week and every month and every year. They know her character. A tree is known by its fruits, and a woman who fears the Lord is known by her fruits, and those in her household praise her. What a beautiful passage we have this morning. There are a lot more truths here, but I think we get the picture of the woman who fears the Lord and the characteristics of the woman who fears the Lord. With this in mind, let me just make a few comments of application as we close. First application or comment. I say this with the most seriousness. Young men, young boys, these are the characters or the characteristics you must look for in a wife. Again, it's so interesting to me that this proverb comes first from a mother and a wife, which make their way to a son. Verse 1 says, King Lemuel. As a woman writing these words and telling them to her son, she knows what is important for her son. And again, this is the last bit of Proverbs. Young men, remember, charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And I would say to mothers as well, to remember these words and speak these words often to your sons before they are married, that they may find such a woman. Because you know what their life will be like and who they choose as a wife and who they marry will affect every little thing that goes on in their lives. I would say, make sure, young men, this is who you marry. Next, another comment by way of application. Daughters who have such a mother, look to her as your model. Learn from her. Follow her. Look unto her ways. And one day, if God wills, you also will be a wife and a mother. And even if you aren't, even if it is the Lord's will that you not that not be the case, you will still be a woman who fears the Lord. And that is what is most important. Next, mothers, make sure that you make disciples of your children and your family. We see this from verse 1 of this proverb. These are the words taught to her son. And this is our mission. As you go, make disciples. And the majority of your time will be spent with your family. Another comment by way of application. Character begins with the fear of God. My question, why are these characteristics found in this woman? Because these things don't just happen. They are found because one of the most foundational truths in the Bible, the fear of God. This means quite a lot. But at the end of the day, this woman, she finds her strength as she worships the Lord her God in everything that she does. Whether she eats or drinks, she does all to the glory of God. She loves him. She trusts him. She adores him. And the motive of her heart in doing these things is not so that other people will see her or that her life will be more practical even. Her motive is love for God. And this, we would call this the fear of God. And when such a person has such a fear of God, looking unto him, trusting in him, and worshiping him always, loving him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. These are the characteristics. These are the things that flow from this woman's heart. Finally, this morning, as we think about these words, I'm blown away because, wow, what a woman this is. And we think, wow, I want to do this as well. I want to be like this as well. Well, remember that we are all at different places in the process of sanctification. I imagine ladies and men for that matter, that when you see this picture in Proverbs 31, you say, oh my, boy, am I lacking so much. And from one perspective, you will always say this as you read Proverbs 31. Why? For you know your sins. You see your failures. And you are often harder on yourself than others are. But that's what you see. And many of the things you see are very much true. But this is the Word of God. And we must know that the Word of God always says to all of us, be holy as I am holy. And as James says, we must look into the law of liberty. And God is so good to give us such a model that we might be more holy. And you know what? On your own, you will never reach this model. And as we look at our own body at Grace, we are all at different places in our sanctification, but the key is the heart. How do you view this sermon, this model, these truths? Well, no matter where you are, I must say, the key is a heart of repentance and faith that looks unto Christ. This is how we fear God. in repentance and faith, looking unto Christ. And at the same time, these words from both Proverbs 31 and in this sermon, I hope, and every sermon that I preach, and every sermon you hear from someone else who trusts in the Word, is always a chance to learn and see a little more about ourselves. And then certainly conviction comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. But you know what we do? Then we look unto Christ. And that's what it means to fear God. And then, I mean, you may be a wife or a mother or a lady who looks at this and you say, wow, I'm convicted here, here, or here. Well, that's what the preaching of the Word is supposed to do. Praise God for this. No, we will never, in our own strength, ever get to this, but we will become more and more godly wives and mothers. And I would say to all of us, fathers and husbands and sons and daughters and grandparents, until we die and go on to be with the Lord, or until He comes back, we are in this process of sanctification. And we must look unto Christ. And it will be His righteousness at the end of the day that clothes us. And God will not look down upon us and say, well, they've checked off all of these things, wives and mothers. No, He will look at a heart of repentance and faith that looks unto Christ. And because Christ has taken our sins upon the cross, our sins are done away with. They're expiated. They've been thrown as far as the east is from the west. And also the wrath of God no longer falls upon us. It has fallen upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in this way, we fear God. And day by day and week by week and month by month, as God gives us time here on this earth, we become more godly. And so that's an exhortation and an encouragement for all of us, especially as Christians, to look unto Christ. But I must also say, if you are not a Christian and you expect to become this woman, it will never happen. This is only done by the Spirit, by the power of God. And I would say to you, if you're not a Christian, even now, repent and look unto Christ. What beautiful words we have this morning. I pray that these words will be helpful to us in all ways as we grow in godliness and look unto Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, take these words and use them greatly. Father, help us to be godly in all that we do. Thank you for mothers and wives and godly ladies that aspire to fear the Lord. And we pray that even here at Grace, that this is what our wives and mothers and ladies, and the principles are still the same for the men as well. And so much more we could say there, but may we look unto Christ and love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Take this day, use it as you see fit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Grace Baptist Church podcast. Past sermons can be found at podbean.com. Search Grace Baptist Church China Grove to find us. If you have an iPhone or a Mac, you can download the podcast app and do a search for Grace Baptist Church China Grove and subscribe, and you'll be updated every week. Thank you for listening, and be intentional in making disciples this week.